Okay. Good morning. Good morning. Is everybody in? I think I know they're not because my wife's not here yet. So we'll give them a second to come in. We just welcome everybody back. And I guess it's the question today is to wear or not to wear. It used to be or not to be, but now that's a question now that is it has to be. So we just are glad that everybody is here, and we welcome the people that will listen to us on the through the internet. And I could turn around and show my daughter that I do have a face. I sit there and she sees my back on the camera, and she tells me, she says, "Well, turn around and wave or something," because she says, "We just see the back of your head." So that's the way we are. But anyway, we're glad that everybody is here. For announcements, there's not too much. The pastor's not here today, and he did not leave an announcement list. We do know that the Bloodmobile drive, if you can see on the boards, the announcements are there. But he did not leave us a list of anything for us to read. Yes. Okay. All right. So that, and just remember that the Sunday school is open for the kids in the mornings. So, all right. So at this time, I would like to read from the Bible, talking about the troubles we have today. I think we need prayer. We need prayer for our country, for our churches, for our health, and everything. And the Bible in Isaiah, you know, Isaiah was just a common man, and he prayed fervently, said he was a righteous man, but he prayed for no rain for 3.5 years. Can you imagine that? I think it was when we had the drought here was 3 or 4 months, and our lake dried up in just a few months. I couldn't imagine what would happen in 3.5 years. But at the end of that 3.5 years, he prayed again, and it rained. So prayer can be, or is answered. All right. It says, is anyone, this is from James, chapter 5, verse 13. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up if they have sinned, and they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So we need to remember that many things could be we worry about, but if we would pray about them, that worry would be taken away. So I think this time we'll go to prayer, and if anybody would like to come up to the altar, it's certainly open for anybody who would like to come up and pray. All right? Our Father, we just thank you for this time that we can be here. We understand that the problems with the virus and the country, that many people do not want to be out, and we just want you to know that we're thinking of them, and just because they're not here in physical body, we hope that they're with you in spirit, that they still remember that you are the one that controls all things. Now, Father, we ask that you'd be with our service today, that you ask that be with the message, that you would just let each of our hearts take something from it, that your words would be a blessing to us. And Father, we just thank you for the praise team, and we just turn you over to them, and we just pray that you'll be with each of us through this service. Amen.
We can stand and we'll start our worship.
Lord of all creation, of water, earth, and sky, the heavens are your tabernacle, Glory to the Lord on high. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty, you are holy, holy. Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and earth. Early in the morning, I will celebrate the light. When I stumble in the darkness, I will call your name by night. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. Beyond us. As morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise that rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing aloud, 'cause nothing has the power to say but your name. Sing aloud, 'cause nothing has the power to say but your name.
I won't touch that because it goes funky and loud. And wow, our family. It's nice seeing our church family. A couple months ago, Vince asked me if I'd talk, and I said, absolutely, I know exactly what we're going to talk about. He goes, are you sure? And I said, yeah, I think so. Praise and worship hit it on a nail. I think they looked at the sermon. You know, they really did. But if you have your Bibles, open your Bibles, please. We're going to stay in one group. We're going to stay in Psalms 1. We're going to go through 1 through 6. We're going to stay in there. And I got a little story for us. It's a true story. Mom and Dad were there, and Josh and Angie were there, and they'll know the story. And that's why I'm wearing these beautiful shoes today. I love sandals. The whole family wears sandals. And these were actually from Jerusalem. Angie has a pair, Josh has a pair, and Joel, my other son, has a pair as well. So this week I was mowing the lawn, being a good husband, and as I was mowing the lawn, I hit this little area with this, I call it a poison leaf sumac, but Angie calls it a yellow leaf sumac, if you know what that is. A couple years ago I mowed it off. It was yellow. I thought it was dead. It's yellow. Normally things that bloom are nice and flowery and green, and, well, it got revenge. It was gone, and I took my ankle and I flipped it 90 degrees and popped it back in a spot, and my foot's actually swollen too much to get into a shoe. so I'm wearing sandals. But the story I'm going to tell you is this. We were at a camp out, and Uncle David was there. I love him to death. My uncle, actually, on Angie's side. He's a great man. He led me to where I am today and still continues on. And Uncle David's there, and he goes, "Only girls wear sandals." I said, "Really, Uncle David? Are you sure about that?" "Yeah, only girls wear sandals." And I said, didn't Jesus wear sandals? Are you trying to tell me Jesus was a girl? And Aunt Janet quickly said, "David, you need to shut up." So David got his upends by two of us, not just me, but his wife. But the question I have today is this. Have you ever wondered why the church is so blessed, or why you're so blessed, or as a family we're so blessed? And you know, a lot of it comes down to what we're going to read today. That our homes and our families, our provisions, our guidance, everything is blessed. I've always wondered. Prior to being saved, I was like, well, hey, I'm good. You know, I've got food, I've got gas in my tank, I've got some money in my account, I'm good, I'm blessed. That's not quite right, is it? No, yeah. Meow. Miss Cat, I love you. No, that's not quite right. If you stop and slow down, you'll find the presence of the Lord. You'll find the blessing is so deep within you that it turns your emotions. That church is blessed. That is what it's about. You find his blessings early in the morning when the birds are singing outside your window and you're trying to sleep, right? You hear their songs. And then if you get up and you look outside, you see the beautiful sunrise coming up. You see the oranges and the reds and the purples and the clouds. That is a blessing. Not only that, but you see it in the air. Nice, gentle breeze as it comes across to you on a hot day when you're working in the garden, you're working wherever. That is a blessing. It reminds me a lot of the Garden of Eden, what it would have been like if you read all the way back that at the cool of the night, God walked. That is a blessing. So the answer to the question is this, it's obvious. Why are we blessed? Well, it's simple. We love God. We believe in Christ. We believe Christ is a virgin birth. That he died, he rose the third day, and most of all, he ascended to the right hand of God. The blessings of God is overwhelming. That if we calm ourselves enough, we'll catch a small glimpse of what God and the blessings are about. That if we stop and we study his word, we find even deeper into the word of his blessings. But the knowledge is priceless. It can only be handed down from father to son, mother to daughter. Guess what? Saved to unsaved, right? Everybody we come in contact with, that blessing we're to give. That's what this proverb is going to be talking about. So today we're going to talk about this. What the blessing is. Psalms 1 gives a big guidance for our life, but also gives warning. And these warnings come with huge responsibility. So as we talk today, I have two questions for you. One, I want you all to ask yourselves, are you saved? And if so, two, what can I do to guide somebody into the presence and the journey of God's blessings? Let's pray. Blessed Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this word. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come to this house. I thank you, Lord, for this family. What a family, Lord. The blessings you pour upon us moves us to full emotion. That the blessings, O Lord, we cannot count them all. That you fill our hearts and our minds and our soul, O Lord. Bless us today and tomorrow, the weeks to come. Allow us, O Lord, to hear your word. Most of all, Lord, to always be a blessing in your ear. Amen. So it says this, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seats of the scornful. I think of it like this. How about instead of the ungodly, how about if we put saved and not saved? That kind of brings it down to a basis of what it's easier for us to believe or to think about. And I think of the song Casting Crowns, Slow Fade. You know, it's an amazing song because it talks about gradual. It says, little one, don't let your ear, watch what your ear hears, watch what your eye sees, watch what your mouth says, the slow fade. It says, the black and white turns to gray, is what it's saying. And that's a little bit of what we're talking about here. It says, as I said, walking, standing, and sits. It reminds me a little bit of Abraham and Lot in Genesis. It talks about Abraham going, and he's commissioned, and he's told to go, right, to a land. And then you have Lot there. Ooh, I want to go, and Lot goes with, right? And Lot is with Abraham, and from there, they start getting blessed, and they're prosperous, and they start getting their flocks, and they separate, right? And as they separate, one goes one way, one goes the other way. And then next thing you know, we hear that Abram has to take and rescue Lot, right? Am I all right so far? Yeah, I hear some nods. So far, I'm good, right? But then going further into Genesis 19, we find that Lot has gradually moved his way to Sodom. And then he's sitting right before the destruction on the wall. It's like this. Our walk, church, is gradual. Our walk must not stray from the path. It must stay focused and on point of where we have to be. Our walk is the most important thing to our life. I think of a lot of the old plaque. I haven't seen it in a long time. It talks about Jesus and the footprints in the sand, right? Everybody knows that one. I'm not real good with it, but I've seen it a little bit here and there. And it talks about our walk. And as we're walking, what do we have alongside of us? Here's Jesus. Jesus walking with us, right? He's there. And he's with us on our path. And then all of a sudden, what happens? There's only one. Set of prints. There's only one set of prints. And then our walk has led us to a point where we cannot walk anymore, and our Lord picks us up and he carries us and he guides us further to our path and he directs us further to our path and he holds us and he nurtures us further on our path. That's really what this is talking about. Is that our guidance and our direction and our path has a price. Is that we shall not stray from it. Who walks not refers to our daily walk. I've said it already. We're not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, the unsaved. And I think of it like this. When I'm going through my hard times in my life, I talk to somebody that I know is rooted in this word, right? Amen? That they're so rooted that I know I can trust them. They're so rooted that if I stumble, I know for a fact they're going to say, John, that's not right. You know that's not right. Well, wait a minute. I think it's right because it feels right. I think it's right. And they're like, you're thinking with the body, not the spirit, right? They guide us. And they direct us. The beliefs are important. That's what sets the whole foundation of this walk, is our beliefs and our thought process on what we believe and how we administer that belief to other people. If it's not in the Bible, are we to trust it? No, absolutely not. Mom, thank you. Absolutely not. It has to be rooted so deep in Scripture that you go from Genesis to Revelation, and you should see a line going all the way through so you know for a fact that it's the truth. That is what it's talking about the counsel of walking in a non-believer. But here's the kicker to it. There's two sides. We are called to go out, are we not? Yes. Matthew 28:19, Mark 16:15, Luke 14:23. I'm not saying that we're not to go out, that we're not to be with the ungodly or unsaved. What I'm saying is we're not to take the counsel of the unbeliever. This is where I fall into trouble. That is where I fall into trouble. And I'm giving you the lessons I've learned hard. And it's simple as this. If we are not to go out, who's going to save them? Who's going to be there to administer the word? The Holy Spirit saves them, right? We're the spokesman for them. Who can you thank in your life came to you and gave you the word, came to you and helped guide you on your walk? My Uncle David, my mom, my dad, my wife, brothers and sisters and Royal Rangers, a couple of people here at the church. They're the ones who have helped guide me and direct me. It's your job. Reach out, always reaching out, the Holy Spirit within us. Church, it's simple as this. Ready? You're commissioned, are you not? One thing that I'm looking forward to is this. When the church takes and steps out and goes forward and guides and directs the unsaved and ungodly and helps guide them on their path, where Christ is like with us in the footprints in the sand, right? And all of a sudden they come into a low spot in their life. Guess who's there? We are, right? We are. We're there to help them. We're there to help pick them up. We're there to help counsel them in the word. We're there to help guide them in the word. The day I'm looking forward to is this, Matthew 24:14. It's one of my favorite scriptures. It says, the good news of the kingdom would be proclaimed in all the world as a testimony to all nations. That's awesome, isn't it? Yeah? But guess this. It says, and then I will come. And then Christ will come. We're commissioned. In these few lines alone, we've talked a lot about who God is and what he is and what he's doing and what he wants for us. He said, blessed is the man. When I think blessed earlier, I said financial, right? When I said earlier, look at me, I'm not skinny, so obviously I eat, so therefore I got a full freezer, full, a whole bunch of food, right? How about a nice car? Oh, I got a nice Jeep, I'm blessed, right? Hey, I've got a gorgeous wife, I'm blessed. I got good sons for the most part, I'm blessed, right? I got excellent in-laws, I'm blessed, right? Amen. Yeah. Ready? Here you go. How about this instead of blessed? How about happy? Blessed here means the exact same thing. Happy in the truth of the gospel of Christ. That's exactly what that means. It goes back and forth. That the blessing alone is not just being blessed monetarily, how we think of it, right? It's being blessed within the Lord so that when I die, my wife knows that I'm going to heaven. That when my wife knows, guess what? And vice versa, when she dies, I know she's going to heaven. That's blessed. Not just the birds that God made. He took and created it all, right? He spoke it. Can you imagine that? Just speaking something, just coming out. Here it is, and it, poof, there it was. Right? I just can't even fathom it. That God spoke it, and it was there. How blessed is that? It's just like the garden, being able to walk through the garden knowing that, wow, God made that, he made that, he made that, he made that. What is that, a platypus? Wow, what in the world? God made that too, right? It's blessed. That's what keeps me going every day is just stopping and looking. When I get in my poo-poo grumpy mode, then Angie kind of looks at me and says, I know that, hey, I got to go outside, get in the sun, I get a whole bunch of vitamins because I'm grumpy, right? Amen. Amen. Yeah. John does get grumpy all the time, but the point I'm getting at is blessed. Psalms 1's divided into two lives, I've already said it. The godly, the ungodly. How about the saved, the not saved? As we look at these psalms, our life before conversion and after conversion. I love it like this. Is God says, as a father, don't touch that. What do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to touch it and I'm going to get burned, right? I'm not walking in full counsel. I'm not slowing down. I'm not waiting on God enough. Being young and immature hurts us sometimes. God warns us. He tells us. Blessed is the man is a huge, what I call attention clause. It's a warning. Pay attention. God is offering two parts. He's offering a part that he will provide and the part that you have to do. If you don't do your part, God's not going to do his part. Simple as that. I like to say if and or so. If and or so. To be blessed, we have to be in the counsel of the Lord. To be blessed, we have to be humble enough to stay with the Lord. To be blessed, we have to be seeking the Lord. To be blessed, we have to be in the truth of the Lord. To be blessed, we have to be in the knowledge of the Lord. This psalm is awesome. It's talking about our eternal life. It's talking about the ones who aren't saved. That as we walk in the counsel, we need to watch out. Standing in the path. Standing in the path is simple as this. It's an action that is a little bit more deliberate. It can be hesitant. Should I do it? Should I not do it? Should I jump in? Should I not jump in? What's going in? You're starting to think it through. What's going on here? Should I stand in the path of the sinner? Well, I'd rather stand on the side and help guide them. Again, we're to be there for them, right? Amen? We're to be there to help guide them, help them walk through their journey. We need to tread lightly. Back to the slow fade, casting crowns. Look it up. Listen to it. Think about it. Dissect it. We need to tread very lightly. This is the stage where we're most vulnerable because we're most willing to compromise our beliefs. I have one belief. That book has never lied to me. I have one belief. That book is true. I have one belief. Guess what? I am saved without a fathom of doubt. That's the belief I have. That's the belief that we have to tell everybody else. That's the belief that we have to guide everybody else to. That's the belief that is so important right now. It's where we're failing as a church in some areas, as a community in some areas, and most of all as a nation. We're so willing to give up our beliefs. We're so willing to bend them and just set them aside. Authority figures is huge with me because I really have a horrible thing with authority. I've learned it over the years. Vince has really tried to bend me into it. He's done a great job. Pastor Phelps did a great job too. But it says, sits in the seat. Do we remember Lot? Where was he at? Genesis 19, where was he at? Sodom and Gomorrah, right? He was sitting on the wall. That position on the wall was a position of authority. That position was a spot where they were able to go to and say, hey, look at me, here I am. I'm on the wall, here's the gate. Hey, look who's coming in. He went from Abram and his beliefs all the way through a slow fade, all the way through a slow journey of compromise, all the way into the town. Oh, it's easier to get milk and cheese over there. Why do I have to go this far? It's easier to get what I need over there. And you kind of shut the eye of really what's going on. The seat of the scornful, the mockful, the deceitful, the bad-mannered. What's the matter with our nation? We were talking about it earlier. What's going on with the nation? God took the authority and put it into people and put them in a place, period. We don't have to like the person, but we have to respect the authority. I think, Nancy, I think you hit that around a nail here last week when we were talking about it, about the Navy. We were talking about the Navy, I think. Authority. We have to be able to, and that's where our world is just giving up on authority. Oh, it's okay. We don't have to do that. We'll rip the statues down. That's all right. We don't have to do that. Authority is lost. We shall not sit in that seat. We go back to our beliefs, our true thought processes. Have you ever had an individual say this? Just leave me alone. It's who I am. That's how I am. Leave me alone. Have you heard that? I have. And I was intolerant of the individual, and I failed him. Church, don't be intolerant. Don't be intolerant. We're to be loving like our Father. 2, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. He delights in the law. The law is the truth of the Lord. Psalm 119, 97. Oh, how I love the law. 119, 103. How sweet is the words that sweet like honey to my mouth. The law, David wrote it down, David was talking about here is a book of Moses, the Torah. Everything to help guide our lives, it's a law, the best of the laws. As John says this, John 8, 32, the truth will set you free. He delights in the law because he knows the truth. He's so overwhelmed with the truth and the law that he's I could just see a huge smile on his face right now as David's talking about it. His heart is just pumping and overwhelmed with happiness. God's truth does not lie. God's truth does not change. God's word never changed. It's never, ever lied to me. It's never directed me in the wrong way. God's truth has never been proven wrong. Right? Amen? Amen. This book has never changed. Why would we want to read something else, church? Why? I'm a first-generation Christian. I'm still a baby. I like milk. Right? The easy things to understand. But I understand it enough to know this. God's truth will never, ever mislead me. Ever. It's that foundation that we have laid that my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, my wife, my uncle, some individuals here have laid it down before us. It's like the yellow brick road. Here you go. Follow the yellow brick road. Okay, Lord, I'm on it. Let's go. You know, the world right now is hurting. Yes? Can we really honestly be truthful? It's hurting, yeah? They have a void so big in their heart right now, I wonder if there's even a heart there. So they don't have the truth. They don't have the understanding that there is a male, there is a female. They don't have understanding that God loved us so much. Guess what he did? He took, like Pastor hit on it, he took the dirt, right, and he pushed it together, and he actually used his hands, and he formed it. Everything else, he spoke, but he stopped, and he formed us. And he breathed life into us. That is the truth that everybody's missing. Is there a Satan? Yes. Is there lies and deception? Yes. But tell you right now, that book does not lie. He meditates on it day and night. I like this one here because I call this the tough steak, is what this is. So if you write notes, write tough steak, and I'm going to explain it. And it's kind of like this. I don't have time for God's word. Have you heard that? I don't have time to read God's word. Have you heard that one too? But I'm so busy I didn't get to it today. How about that one? We heard that? I say tough steak. It's not telling us here that we're to continually read it day and night. It's telling us that his law, he meditates on it day and night. We're to read the word. We're to be in the word. I call it tough steak because it's like this. As we meditate on it, you ever get a bad cut of steak, like a flank steak, and you can't, it has all that gristle on it, and you can cook it, and you can cook it, and you can cook it, and cook it, and it just gets so dry when it's in your mouth, you chew and chew and chew and chew, and you're still chewing. Next thing you know, you have no saliva left in your mouth to try to get this steak down your throat, right? That's what I'm talking about. Meditate on God's word. Constantly chew it to try to understand it. Lord, what are you saying here? I'm reading this, but really, what is it? Lord, am I understanding this right? All day long, all night long. Lord, is this really what are you really saying this? Hey, Mom, is this what God's saying? Angie, am I reading this right? Ask your loved ones. The key is to a tough steak is this, all right? And it's just like the word. Be aware of what kind of cut of meat it is. When you get into the word, you start reading it. You start understanding it. Okay, he wrote this book, this book, this book. All right, I'm going to take and reference it back to that book to see exactly what he's talking about. Guess what? More than likely, you're going to understand what he's saying. You're meditating on the word. You're understanding the word. You're dissecting the word. The best thing I can tell you about a steak is this. know the cut. You can jacquard it, if, for those of you who aren't chefs, okay? A jacquard basically is about this big, and it's got a whole bunch of razor blades in it, and you just, it's like poking a pie crust, all right? You poke it, poke it, poke it, poke it, and that's what you're doing to the steak, and you just poke a whole bunch of holes in it. You can do that, right? That's all right. It's okay. You can take baking soda water and marinate the steak in that, and that's going to break the tendons and the meat muscles down. Or you can marinate it with a high acid. The point I'm getting at is this. Know what we're reading. And as we read it and understand it, only read a little bit and hold on to that word and chew on it and take and hold it and try to figure out exactly what's being said. Verse 3 says, and this is my favorite one, it says, he shall be like a tree planted by the river's water that brings forth its fruits in the season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Amen. This is our reward. It's the second part. Oh, by the way, or and or so, right? Not walking, remember that? But then it goes to here. This is our reward. A tree planted by the river's water reminds me kind of like this, is the gardens that's planted in Egypt, right? What do? They make the irrigation canals, and they take it. They're desert everywhere, and they get the well, and then they send the water to it. That's what God does. He takes a tree, which is us. He takes us and clears an area, right? And he plants us. And as we're planted, then saying, you know, here comes the Holy Spirit waters. And the waters come in on us, and they take and start nurturing us. And our roots get down deep. We're trees, and we're surrounded by a desert. And God takes us and plants us. He looks after us. He nourishes us. He places us in areas that we can never imagine. He allows us to be a spokesman. He allows us, because we're in his counsel, to voice our words. He allows us to guide other individuals. The water nourishes us. John 4, 13, 14, Jesus said, everyone who drinks of the water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water I give him will never thirst again. In fact, the water I give him will become a water of well springing up inside him for eternal life. Brings forth fruits in our seasons. How many of us have really honestly say we haven't seen fruits? I haven't seen a lot of fruits. That's frustrating. But then we got to remember this, is if you take a banana and you stick it in a bag, it ripens, right? Yeah, it ripens. Is it a good banana? Not really. Not really. But if you take a banana that is just amazing and sitting there and it's at the peak of moment, and it's there, has no chemicals on it, no nothing, and you crack this thing open, you can smell the sweetness of this fruit. You can smell it. And when you bite into this banana, you have amazing flavor that you could never imagine. The flavor is so overwhelming, you're like, wow, that's a good banana. I gotta get more of those. Don't force your fruit. Bless people with your word. Guide people with your word. Don't force the fruit. When it's your time, fruit will come. Until then, be a waterer, right? Be a planter. Somebody will come up behind and harvest. Whose leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does prospers. I love this because I see it all the time in our yard. We have plants, and if we don't water them, guess what happens? They turn brown, right? It's kind of like my life or some of our lives, as we're not in our word, as we're not tough staking it, right? Going over the word and holding it and meditating it, sometimes we dwindle out a little bit, right? We start to wither a little bit. And that's when we stop and we realize something's wrong. And we start getting back in our word and we start praying. We start getting guided again by the word. Also, the nice thing about this, too, is the rebound. The deeper you are in your word, when something drastic comes, something drastic happens or comes, more than likely you're going to rebound a lot quicker. Yeah? Verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but they're like chaff, which the wind drives away. How about the unsaved? This is the punishment for the unsaved. And this overwhelms me. See, I don't know what a threshing floor looks like, but I do know what a combine looks like. And forgive me, I'm not a farmer, but I think the thing in the front is called a head. Is that right? Yeah, thank you. Yeah, whoever said that. So the head on a combine, okay? As it's going down the corn rows, the GPS, what is it, the godly positioning system, yeah? As it's going down the corn rows, or as it's going down the bean rows, right? God's in the combine, and he's steering, and he's there, and you see the everything shaking in front of the heads, and all of the saved individuals are going in the back, the hopper, right? Is that what that is? Yeah, hopper? I'm sorry. Really, I am. I'm sorry. We'll say it's a hopper. It's going in the back of the hopper, right? So we got the left hand and the right hand. God turns to the right. Who's sitting at the right hand? Who? And the saved, right? He's in his godly positioning system. He's driving. And the corn and the soybeans are going up into the hopper. And he's turning the back. And as he's turning the back, what's coming out the back? Chaff. By the pounds. The unsaved are just getting kicked to the back. By the pounds. By the millions. That's hard for me to accept. I'm happy. I'm in the hopper. I'm saved. But what about the ones in the back? The clause is true. You have two choices. You have life, eternal, or damnation. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment of sinners, or the congregation of the righteous. Romans 3:10 says this, there's no unrighteous, no one, not one. The world needs atonement. The Hebrew word here is kapha. It's to cover. They need a covering. It's like in Exodus, right? The blood on the post, the covering, the sacrifice, the full covering, the painting of Christ. That's what the world needs. This psalm is hard to my heart. What do we have to do? What do we have to do to guide them and direct them? For verse 6 is this, for the Lord knows the ways of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. God knows all, doesn't he? Every bit. He knows that everybody's here today, was supposed to be here today, right? He knows everybody, if they're listening, is going to be listening, that the words are being said as the words they're supposed to hear. He knows our hearts. He knows our minds. He knows our wishes. He knows our will. He knows what we've done, what we haven't done, what we're going to do. As the praise and worship can come on up. Today is more from my heart and a reminder for me. We've all gone through the COVID. We've all going through our guidances and the requests. And I'm offering a simple direction. And hopefully it'll unite churches. They'll rekindle us and guide us. Today is a reminder of who we are, what we were, and where we're going. All I'm asking is please share the word. Share it. The world is hurting so bad right now. The churches need to stand proud of who we are and whose we are. And most of all, what we have to offer. Imagine what could happen to this county the state and the nation if we all come together under one God, one belief, and accept it to the fullest. Our people across the world would unite. Amen.
Go ahead and stand for our final song here.
We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus, and we cry, holy, 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 and we cry, holy, 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 and we cry, holy, 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 is the Lamb. Fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus, and we cry, holy, 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 and we cry.
May God bless you in everything you do. May He bless your home, your family, all your provisions. I ask you, go out and please share the word. In your holy name, Lord Jesus, guide us, protect us, help us to be your church. Have a great week. As the ushers come, please go out. And on this side, please as well.